Hi, this is John Jacob Schmidt. We have an announcement. We've come to the point that we no longer feel the necessity to continue the Radio Free Redoubt project. It appears that President Obama's aggressive social, political, economic, and foreign policies are beginning to actually work, and we're seeing progress being made. Our economy is recovering. So, with that being said, the collapse of our economy and our nation has been canceled. April Fools, Radio Free Redoubt is coming at ya.
Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
We aren't going anywhere. We need each other now more than ever. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and you're listening to the voice of the American Redoubt with nearly 123,000 page views on the blog in just over 10 months. Wow. Welcome back, everyone. I hope you had a blessed week. Thanks for joining me tonight, our listeners across the American Redoubt. And welcome to those of you outside the wire in occupied America, and welcome to our redoubters at heart to the north of us in Canada. A special salute to those of you serving in uniform, whether you wear blue or green. We appreciate your service and especially your commitment to be oath keepers. We appreciate your tips and intel when you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state. So thanks for remembering, if you see something, say something. Keep those tips coming in. Tonight is a continuation of a topic we started a couple of weeks ago. That's prepping for the new prepper. The person who just had a light bulb come on and you realize we're in trouble. All indicators are pointing to a collapse of our economy at the very least. And that's not to mention the social powder keg. Unless you've been living under a rock, you know what I mean. So societal collapse triggered by an imminent economic collapse that is coming. And more analysts and historians are seeing the parallels between the United States and every other empire that's existed in history and has fallen. And as each empire in history has collapsed, there have been common indicators to serve as warnings, harbingers. But each time they go ignored, the warning signs continue, and the people suffer the consequences for ignoring those warning signs. The reality is that on one level or another, we're headed for a collapse, and things will never be the same again. That's the reality of it. You want to ignore reality? I've seen your type before. You can ignore the truth if you want. The author Ayn Rand said, "You can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality." And some of you are waking up to the reality that we are in trouble and you're in freakout mode. You're overwhelmed. You feel like you're behind the curve. You finally realize that you better start preparing and you don't know where to start. First, don't despair. Fear is not of the Lord. So don't worry. Be happy, because the Lord has blessed you with an awakening. Didn't he say he'd provide for you? And just like Noah, just like Joseph and Mary, just like Joseph in Egypt, he has provided for you already by blessing you with the knowledge in advance that danger is coming so you can take action. Pretty cool, eh? Now, that's a message for you God-fearing patriots. For you atheists, well, you got a lot bigger problems than food, as you will see. Someday, hopefully not too soon. Of course, you can change all that, but only you can make that choice. Anyway, we're going to talk about that later on in the show. Prepping 201, part two for the brand new prepper. First, however, the news and commentary, current events that could affect you as patriots, redoubters, whether you're already here or you're outside the wire. This one was sent in by a listener. Thank you. Oh, a big thanks goes out to all of you who've been so gracious in sending in news links on stories that could affect all of us in one way or another, or just helps keep all of us keep good situational awareness so we know what's going on in the world and in our country and even across the American redoubt. Internet activity to be monitored under new laws. This coming out of England. Ministers are preparing a major expansion of the government's powers to monitor the email exchanges and website visits of every person in the UK. It was reported last week. Under legislation expected in next month's Queen's speech, internet companies will be instructed to install hardware enabling GCHQ, that's the government's electronic listening agency, to examine on demand any phone call made, text message, and email sent, and website accessed in real time, the Sunday Times reported. A previous attempt to introduce a similar law was abandoned by the former Labour government in 2006 in the face of fierce opposition. Former Labour government. When you see Labour, read that as socialist. Labour equals socialist for future reference. However, ministers believe it is essential that the police and security services have access to such communication data in order to tackle terrorism and protect the public. And to protect the public. There's the catch-all. Although GCHQ would not be able to access the content of such communications without a warrant, the legislation would enable it to trace people, individuals or groups that are in contact, who they're in contact with and how often and for how long they are in communication. What they mean is that they need a warrant to read the content in this phase, empowering them to read the actual contents. Well, that'll come in phase two. So this is just the camel sticking its nose in the tent. I'm surprised they would need a warrant. I'm not sure if they're catching up with the U.S. or we're catching up with them. But it doesn't really matter, I guess. Just keeping up with the Joneses, aren't they? Same shenanigans are going on over here back in the USSA. Police are using phone tracking as a routine tool from New York Times reporting. Law enforcement tracking of cell phones, once the province mainly of federal agents, has become a powerful and widely used surveillance tool for local police officials, with hundreds of departments, large and small, often using it aggressively with little or no court oversight. The practice has become big business for cell phone companies, too, with a handful of carriers even actually marketing a catalog of, quote, surveillance fees to police departments to determine a suspect's location, to trace phone calls and texts, or provide other services. That's nice and vague. Some departments log dozens of traces a month for both emergencies and routine investigations, but civil liberties advocates say the wider use of cell tracking raises legal and constitutional questions, particularly when the police act without judicial orders. While many departments require warrants to use phone tracking in non-emergencies, others claim broad discretion to get the records on their own, according to 5,500 pages of internal records obtained by the ACLU from 205 different police departments across the country. Now, China is in the news once again. From the Denver Post, ExxonMobil is no longer the world's biggest publicly traded producer of oil. For the first time, that distinction belongs to a 13-year-old Chinese company called PetroChina. Get used to seeing that name. The Beijing company was created by the Chinese government to secure more oil for that nation's booming economy. PetroChina announced Thursday that it pumped 2.4 million barrels a day last year, surpassing Exxon by 100,000. The company has grown rapidly over the past decade by squeezing more from China's aging oil fields and outspending Western companies to acquire more petroleum reserves in places like Canada, Iraq, and Qatar. They didn't mention the U.S. It's motivated by a need to lock up as much oil as possible. They only mentioned three companies here. These guys got their hand in the cookie jar all over the world, all across Africa, North, South America. The company's output increased 3.3% in 2011, while Exxon's fell 5%. The Chinese government owns 86% of its stock, and the nation uses nearly every drop of oil that PetroChina pumps. Its appetite for gasoline and other petroleum products is projected to double between 2010 and 2035. An energy historian by the name of Dan Yergin said, there's a lot of anxiety in China about the energy question. It's just growing so fast. Now, if you remember last summer, we covered the growing China threat in the show titled China's Trojan Horse. Go back and listen to that if you haven't listened to that yet. We told you that the Chinese are gobbling up every oil field they can get their hands on, even in the U.S. And that's what our leaders are doing to secure loans that we get from the Chinese. They're leveraging U.S. natural resources. And what a mess. And what do you think the future holds for a major military superpower when they start getting anxiety about their energy concerns? Not good for us. Especially when we start defaulting on all those loans. Now, back on the home front, the Department of Homeland Security, that's DHS, has awarded a defense contract, the defense contractor called ATK, with an order for up to 450 million rounds over a five-year period. That's rounds of ammunition. Of course, DHS, the emerging American version of the Stasi, is there to protect us from something. Oh yeah, the homegrown terror threat. You know, returning veterans, homeschoolers, people who are arrogant enough to recommend to our government that they follow the Constitution, and people who believe in having a balanced budget in our government, and people who just generally hate socialism and love guns. 450 million rounds coming at you. Obama announces Buffett rule tax aspirations. What does all that mean? Well, President Barack Hussein Obama is calling on Congress to increase taxes on millionaires, reviving a proposal he first pitched last September that aims to draw sharp election year lines between the president and Republican opposition. Well, it shouldn't be too difficult now because of the atmosphere they've created where everyone hates millionaires, right? I mean, that's the trendy thing to do, is to hate millionaires. Only the real secret that they're not telling you is that once hyperinflation hits, you're all going to be millionaires. So guess what? All your taxes are going up. Merry Christmas. In his Saturday radio and internet address, he says, we don't envy success in this country. We aspire to it. But we also believe that anyone who does well for themselves should do their fair share in return, so that more people have the opportunity to get ahead, not just a few. That mentality right there, my friends, is pure, unadulterated socialism. Now, socialism, that's a bad word. You don't want to have socialism. These are the same lines used in Nazi Germany, Stalin's Soviet Union, and in Cuba, and in China, and in countless other examples. Socialist and communist mantra. Everyone does have the opportunity in this country. Successful people have to do their fair share so that more people have the opportunity. No, so you can take something for nothing, free money, so you can squander it on things that violate our moral conscience. That makes me want to puke. Man, I hate communism and socialism. Did I ever mention that? Okay, we also got another article we're not going to get to right now because I want to really go into it in depth. It is an eye-opener. It's blowing stuff wide open. It's the cross-border martial law stage one article that was posted over at Lou Rockwell. I did put that on the site for you to read, but I want to look into that more in depth. It goes into a little bit about the North American Union, this alliance between Mexico, United States, and Canada to forge a partnership across the borders for providing security for the people, climate change, you know, all this other stuff that's coming down the line. Oh, news from the American Redoubt. The Idaho Statesman ran an article last week covering the Boise City Council's intentions of reviewing and revamping some of their ordinances to accommodate the large and growing number of its citizens who are turning to micro farms within the city limits. Chickens, rabbits, beekeeping, and expanding their gardens. These are all being looked at, and so far it looks like it's going to be a positive move. They did say, however, as part of their review, they're going to look into the possible adverse effects on neighbors. So we'll have to keep a close eye on this one. You know that oftentimes city councils are overreactors, historically speaking. So caution flag goes up with that little piece of potentially good news. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to start getting into Prepping 201. Prepping for the Beginner, Part 2. Stick around. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Have you been searching for a time-proven way to protect your valuables and your loved ones? Rainy Day Root Cellars has the solution. Whether you need safe shelter from a storm, secure protection for your belongings, or a perfect place for your food storage, Rainy Day Root Cellars provides you and your family with the ultimate in discreet and secure protection. Visit them today at www.rainydayrootcellars.com. Rainy Day Root Cellars, security you can count on.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
If you are a God-fearing patriot and love liberty and the spirit of America, you may be feeling like a foreigner in your own country. If that sounds like you, then the American Redoubt might be the right move for you. The momentum is building, and many families are taking refuge among like-minded patriots all across the inland Pacific Northwest. If you are considering joining the hundreds of families that are moving to higher ground, then check out the resources located at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com and click on the tab labeled Relocate.
This is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. One of my favorite expressions while writing my blog posts are use it, use it, use it. This expression was born in the school of hard knocks. Prior to Y2K, my husband and I spent every dime of disposable income in survival preparedness. We and Lehman's Hardware were on a first-name basis. Not only did we stock our pantry with 5-gallon pails of food, we also invested in a wood cook stove, top-of-the-line kerosene lanterns, and even a generator to see us through the worst of the storm. Although Y2K turned out to be a non-event, less than a year later our family moved and went totally off-grid. Our untested equipment became our worst nightmare. Not only did our generator fail after less than an hour, our expensive, top-of-the-line Petromax lantern leaked like a sieve and eventually caught our kitchen table on fire. Now, anything we purchase, we put to the acid test before we need it. It is a simple thing to repair or replace an item now. However, when Teotihuacan happens, we could literally be up a creek without a paddle. Remember, use it, use it, use it. In the service of the King, this is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. Survival favors the prepared.
Welcome back to episode 12-13, the 13th episode of 2012. A little announcement, starting tomorrow, Monday, April 2nd, we'll no longer be posting any new material to the Blogspot site. That's probably what you're listening on right now, if you're listening live. And that's www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com, owned and operated by Google, which we're trying to get away from. We'll be uploading all new articles and resources to the new website. And that's simply www.radiofreeredoubt.com. No blog spot, just radiofreeredoubt.com. Now, we'll be leaving everything up as it is right here on Blogspot until we get everything migrated over to the new website. There's lots to do. And it could actually take, we anticipate, several, probably months. In fact, most of the stuff isn't over there yet, but the website is functional, and you'll be able to listen to the show there. Next week, we probably won't be putting a new show together just because of everything we need to do to get as much moved over and organized as possible. Of course, we'll be broadcasting, and I'll come on board to do news and commentary and some announcements, stuff like that. But we have several topics we'll be covering in upcoming shows. And there's quite a bit of legwork and research. So it's coming down to one or the other. Get the new website up to speed or do a new show next week. Can't do both. Thanks to Delta 01 for all that you're doing over there on the new site. It looks great. Also, thanks to all of you who have volunteered to step up and help with web design. I definitely haven't forgotten about you. And I have your emails set up in a separate folder. So you'll be hearing from me just right now. We're up to our necks in alligators. Other alligators. What's new? All right. We talked about prepping 101 last week, where we touched on the basics of the basics for prepping when it comes to surviving. In any environment, you need food, water, and shelter. But remember, we started off with another subject before we got to food, water, shelter. Remember what that was? That's right. OPSEC. Operational Security. It's a commonly used trendy buzzword, which means go about your business of prepping and keep your mouth zipped about it. And that goes for anything related to your prepping. I have literally heard people say, when the crash comes, they're going to go to so-and-so's house. Well, so-and-so couldn't keep his or her mouth shut. And so now there are about 30 people, if you're lucky, and it's not 30 families, who will be on so-and-so's doorstep like locusts, not expecting but demanding help, possibly at gunpoint. Are you prepared for that? That doesn't mean you shouldn't help others in need, but you should maintain the prerogative to help who you choose to help. And it should be a choice. Go back and listen to Prepping 101. But before you go any further, buy and read two books. Mandatory reading. Patriots, a novel of the coming collapse by James Rawls. And One Second After by William Fortune. That's what I tell people when they start asking me about prepping. Turn around, walk away, read those two books, and then come back and see me. Think that's cruel? Not at all. And those of you who've read those two books know what I'm talking about. It will save everyone a lot of explaining and bring the new prepper up to speed real quick. And then everyone's on the same starting point. Those books really do a good job of painting the picture of the reality of how thin the veneer of humanity is in our culture. There are sheep, and there are wolves, and there are sheepdogs in this world. Predators, prey, and protectors. Even if you're only a protector of your own family, if you're not a sheepdog, you are either a predator or prey. And if you're not a wolf, a predator, you will be prey. You change from prey to protector, not by what you've stored up, but by the way you think. And when you change your sheep mentality to sheep dog mentality, what's stored on your shelves will fall into place as a byproduct of the way you think, as a sheepdog. Because the wolf is coming in a collapse, in a down situation. There's people, you live in a shelter bubble life. You don't realize how close it is to you, the kind of evil that people are capable of with just a few minor changes. The fewer people as possible who know about your preparations, the better. The survival websites are loaded with personal testimonies. What happens when someone is prepared and those around them aren't? How quickly your supplies can get depleted, wiped out completely. Now, we plan on helping out a widow who's disabled in our neighborhood, if it comes to that. We'll always prepare enough food to run a bowl of soup over to her. We can't save the world, though, but we've chosen to help a select few who aren't capable of helping themselves. That's biblical guidance. So what about those who can take care of themselves, who've ignored the warnings and called preppers a bunch of lunatics and who will find themselves in such want, they're willing to do anything to you or your family to take what you have. There are people out there who are planning for that. Trust me on this. I've heard him say it, and a lot of you have too. Let's talk about the thing you hope and pray you never need. But if you do, there's no substitute. Defense, particularly firearms. You know what's scary is the person who supposedly calls themselves a prepper with an arsenal of 30 weapons and 5,000 rounds of ammunition for each gun and no significant food storage. That is a ticking time bomb in a Teotihuacan situation. I'm not talking about a hurricane that cuts off food and other supplies for a few weeks where help is on the way, or a major earthquake. I'm talking about a major catastrophic event where there's no help on the way because everyone's in the same boat, like a major global economic collapse. Like so many experts and analysts are predicting, they say it's imminent. That means it is coming. Exactly when could be anyone's guess. From weeks away to months, maybe we still have years left. But it's coming. Tonight, we're going to talk about three main topics: defense, medical, and communications. So first, defense, weapons, guns. There's a lot of cases for us to draw from, to learn from the experience of others. Disasters, civil unrest, rioting, looting, etc. The firearm is the most efficient means available to the citizens, you, to exert your will on an otherwise more powerful or numerically superior threat. It's what levels the playing field. Your will, of course, is for the threat to stop being a threat to you or your loved ones. And in today's world, the probability is very high that the threat you'd be facing would be an armed one, probably a firearm. And there's normally no substitute available for you to meet, suppress, and defeat that kind of a threat without a firearm of your own. The late Colonel Jeff Cooper, the grandfather of firearm self-defense training, said, "Remember the first rule of gunfighting, have a gun." Makes sense. I have a friend who's a prepper, and this is one of those families where the wife is going gangbusters to prepare and canning and dehydrating, labeling, organizing, couponing, you name it. And for about 4 years ago when we met, she said if she had her way, she'd be living up on the top of a mountain in a compound. The husband wasn't really all that on board with it at that point. And he was asking me about prepping, and the subject of guns came up. Well, I brought it up. I asked him what he had in the way of self-defense, firearms. He said, "Oh, man, I couldn't have a gun in the house. I have kids." And I said, "Well, that's all the more reason to have them." So anyway, he started asking me about preparedness. And I stopped him. I said, "You got to read these two books, Patriots and One Second After. And then when you're done reading them, then come and talk to me." And he did. And he came back completely changed. He says, "I am so unprepared." And he's really worried. Now, the husband and wife each own M4s. They have a tactical shotgun. And they have at least two handguns and lots of ammo. And they just go out and buy gadgets. They actually took some tactical courses to learn how to handle the weapons. And they store them safely so the kids can't get to them. And they discuss it with them. And they're educating their kids. And they're being safe and practical in the meantime until the kids get to an age where they can actually, you know, use reasoning and they understand the dangers of it. So you need training and you need practice no matter what you get. So what type of firearm do you need? Do you really need an assault weapon? I was talking to a friend of mine who's a prepper and a patriot a couple of years ago. And we were with a group of other people, and the topic of assault weapons came up. And he says, "Yeah, I really don't have any need for an assault weapon." And I just looked at him, and I said, "How do you know?" And he just stared at me, and he just started smiling. And since then, he's made some changes. It made him stop and think. So what type of gun should I have, you might be asking? Now, that's a personal choice, of course, but there's some general principles that apply, and we're going to talk about some of those things. There's some great resources to help walk you through that process. I'm not going to go super in-depth with it. I want to give you resources that you can go. All the information is already out there. What I'm trying to do is put it in one package so that you can access it easily. There's two articles that I posted on the highlights and resources posting for today's show. One's over on Survival Blog, and it's titled Survival Gun Selection. And there's another article at Alpha Rubicon called Selecting a Survival Battery of Firearms. And so we are going to get a little bit more in depth than that right after we come back from the break, where I'm going to talk a little bit about prioritizing and some of my own personal recommendations on what type of firearms to buy and why. First, though, I got a letter from a listener a couple of hours ago about last week's show that was titled Looking the Tyrant in the Eye, where I mentioned VPN, virtual private networking for VPN tunneling to hide your IP address and your location. It keeps prying eyes away. Of course, I mentioned several internet and computer security measures. A lot of them are free to download, and with a little perseverance, you can greatly enhance your security and protect your privacy. Encryption, all that good stuff I covered last week. But anyway, here's the letter. Hi, I'm excited to live in the American Redoubt. That was the subject line. Hi, I just heard last week's program. Nicely done. Thank you. I want to know what type of VPN service you are using. I have a Mac and an iNetbook that I would like to set up with VPN service. What recommendations do you have? Thanks. From a listener. All right. Thanks for the letter, by the way. Great to have you with us. I don't have VPN set up yet. I'm in the research phase myself, but the resource that I'm using for the available VPN services that are out there is the letter that James Rawls posted last week. And I'll put a link to that up on the highlights and resources posting for today's show. So you can go back to that article. It really goes, it breaks it down. It makes a lot more sense. And you realize that this really is a real threat that people need to take measures against. To answer your question, the service that I'm kind of narrowing my research down on and looking at the closest is called Strong VPN. And according to the site over at Rawls, it runs anywhere from $55 for their basic setup, their basic service, all the way up to $240 a year. Depending on what features you want. And it's what I liked about it. It's one of the most flexible in reassigning the far end of your tunnel on the fly. And the big one is superior speed, which I need. I can't have something like that slowing me down because I'm broadcasting over the internet. I do a lot of audio files, videos to upload files and things like that. So I need everything to be operating just as quick as possible. There's a lot of videos, research, and audio files there's a lot of resources that are out there for you guys. And that article right there should really help you kind of narrow that down. All right, you're tuned in to Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the safe haven and refuge for God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. We call it the American Redoubt.
Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Redoubt at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Are you a licensed ham operator? If so, the American Redoubt Movement needs your help. To support the mission of keeping the American Redoubt connected in a Teotihuacan situation, Radio Free Redoubt is working on a project to build a network of patriotic, amateur radio operators who consider themselves redoubters. Your skills will be critical in rebuilding and advancing the American Redoubt Movement after Teotihuacan. Please email us at radiofreeredoubt@gmail.com to find out how you can partner with Radio Free Redoubt in this critical and time-sensitive project. Your input and ideas are greatly appreciated. Thank you, ham operators, for what you do.
This is Sir Knight with the Paratus Familia blog and the Tactical Tip of the Week. If you've chosen a rifle from the AR-15 or the M4 family, one of the first things you must consider is barrel twist. The original AR-15 came with a barrel twist of 1 in 12, meaning that the rifling twists around the barrel once in 12 inches. This was designed to stabilize the 55-grain bullet they used. More current issue rifles use a twist of 1 in 7. Now, this is designed to stabilize the 62-grain bullet. The military designation for this ammunition is M855. While all 5.56 ammunition will shoot in rifles with either barrel, I have found that the 55-grain ammunition is very inaccurate in the 1 in 7 barrel. But do not despair. You can purchase most any rifle with a barrel twist of 1 in 9 that shoots both types of ammunition with reasonable accuracy. Knowing your rifle means hitting your target. This is Sir Knight with the Paratus Familia blog, and you're listening to Radio Free Readout.
You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt on Radio Free Readout.
And it goes a little something like this. Stick, 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 stick.
We're back. You're still here? I'm still here? Because nobody wants to go anywhere because we're talking about guns. What is the right gun to buy? The ongoing age-old debate. 9mm versus 45. 5.56 versus 308. First, if you have nothing, get something. I would recommend, first of all, that you get a handgun if you have nothing at all right now. Now, I'm a firm believer that every free American citizen should own a main battle rifle. But we'll get to that in just a minute. If you don't have anything right now, get a handgun. The reason why is because they're affordable, they're concealable, and the ammunition is relatively very inexpensive, relatively, because ammo is really going up. But concealable, that's a big one. You might find yourself in a number of different situations where you want to be armed, but it's kind of hard to have an M14 or M1A slung over your shoulder while you're going through a crowd. It just draws attention. So if you have nothing else, get something that is concealable. That way you have it. You can have it always. And you're not limited to it because of its size and the practicality of having it on you all the time. But another quote so eloquently put by Colonel Jeff Cooper, and that is, a handgun is only good for fighting your way to your rifle that you should have had in the first place. So I'm talking handgun only if you have nothing else, but that's only step one in your defense program. If you don't already have one, you need to have a main battle rifle, one that's made for combat, that's proven. A shoulder-fired, magazine-fed, semi-automatic rifle or carbine in a NATO caliber. That's because they are extremely common, the calibers. Now, in this country, we've imported millions of AK-47s and SKSs. So that also really leaves you with a lot of availability for the AK-47 family of rifles, the Kalashnikov family, if you will. So what you should try to do is find something that is very common with ammo, magazines, parts, so on and so forth. Now, first of all, let's talk about the AR-15 family. Probably the most common, the most accessorized weapon system that there is out there, the AR-15, the CAR-15, M4, M4-jury, whatever you want to call it, in 5.56. Also commonly referred to as 223. Not exactly the same, but they are compatible, the ammunition. Okay, the AR-15, CAR-15, and M4s. Those are going to run you anywhere from $800 up to $2,000, depending on what type of setup that you get. They're very common. The magazines are extremely common. The parts are interchangeable with one another, usually. Then, of course, you got the Mini 14s, also in 5.56. Those are your two big ones for your 5.56 category. And then you get into your 308, and that is your M1A, M14, also Galil, FNFAL, those companies you might find yourself familiar with. You're going to see those when you read those articles on selecting firearms is probably some of the most common firearms that are out there. Those are both 5.56 and the 308 are both, those are NATO calibers. And if I had my choice and cost wasn't a factor, I'd walk up and pick up an M1A every time. However, for our family, we chose the M4 because of mainly because of cost. The cost of the rifle itself, significantly lower than a M1A or an M14. By the way, the M14 is the full auto or select fire version that's used in the military, where the M1A is the civilianized semi-automatic version. That's a hard hitter. If I'm in a firefight, one thing I definitely don't want coming in my direction is a 308. I don't want to get shot with anything. But the 308 is definitely something that's going to put heads down and put targets down. But the AR-15, CAR-15, M4, those have killed a lot of terrorists in the last 10 years. And they've come a long way in their evolution. Extremely accessorized, a lot of aftermarket parts that you can use to customize that and be cautious of not getting into caught up into all the toys and stuff that you can get for everything and miss, go right past the basics and miss the whole point. The reason why we chose the M4 is for a few reasons. First of all, I'm already trained on it. Secondly, I know how to train on it. Third, it was much more affordable than an M1A. The ammunition is lighter. I can carry more of it, and it's a lot more affordable. Almost half the cost of 308 ammunition. The magazines are much more affordable and a lot more abundant, easier for me to get my hands on. Everyone in my family can fire one. From any one of my kids, to my wife, to myself. And so instead of having multiple different types of firearms, we've standardized. And so we went that route. And that way we can interchange magazines, parts, spare parts kits, ammunition, so on and so forth. And then finally it came down to the cost. Now, if something happens in my life where I can afford it, I would love to have one of the modified M1As, the SOCOM model in 308. That'll be my personal battle rifle. But right now, it is too cost prohibitive for me. Now, the third category I mentioned just right at the beginning, and that's the AK-47. That comes in a 7.62 by 39 caliber. Also, relatively affordable. The AK-47 is a battle-proven rifle. I have no problems with an AK-47. The reason why I chose why I did not make that my first choice is for some of the reasons that I mentioned above. And so it just came down to that. And so the M4 is proven in my book. I know the 308 and the 5.56 kind of have the argument between the 9mm and the 45. I'm a 45 guy. There's just been too many There's a lot of those statistics that are out there that are consistently, hands down, the 45s putting people down more than the 9mm. The 9mm, more people, it's a lot more survivable. Let's put it that way. You can get into all the arguments all you want about, it's all about shot placement. You can use a 22. Please don't go out and get a 22 and call that your main battle rifle. The people, there is something to be said about shot placement, but a lot of people who talk all about, it's all about shot placement, have never been in a firefight. And, so when the crap hits the fan and you're surrounded on all sides, by enemy and, you're knee deep in grenade pins and you're running low on everything except enemy, shot placement, it's a lot easier said than done. But anyway, a lot of that comes from training too, and the type of training that you would have to achieve would just about have to be a full-time job for you to absolutely have shot placement every time, all the time, under every kind of stress you can imagine in battle. Okay, now when it comes to your main battle rifle, you should have one for every adult. Actually, one for every member. Even if you're children, you might have to pass it down one day. I've always said, if you got a 2-year-old, you got a 3-year-old, buy him an M4 or buy him a whatever it is, buy it for him, because one day they're going to be 18 and you want to be able to hand it to them. So get it for them while you can. Now, one article on selecting a survival battery for firearms that I posted there recommends having a third rifle for every two adults as a backup. And if that's something that's within your financial means, that is an excellent recommendation. Also, for every single weapon, you need to have 1,000 rounds of ammunition. Strive for that. If you can only buy 50 rounds at a time, then fine. Every payday or every other payday, you go and you buy another box of ammo until you got 1,000 rounds saved up for each main battle rifle, 500 rounds for your handgun. And, of course, if you go through 500 rounds in your handgun in Teotihuacan, you're Superman if you survive that much. One thing that's really important, more than any of the weapons that you could think about buying, because this is what the problem is. A lot of people depend heavily on their weapons, their tools. Buying a combat rifle doesn't make you a soldier or a warrior any more than buying a skill saw makes you a carpenter. Those are just tools. You need to learn how to use them. And then when you're in the heat of things using that, you need to have the right mindset to increase your chances of prevailing. And one of the things that I would recommend is, above all, if you do nothing else, and there's other stuff that you'll come across, and it really deals with the mindset, the warrior mindset. There's a gentleman by the name of Colonel Dave Grossman. I have one of his autographed copies of On Combat. He wrote a series. He started off writing On Killing, talking about the psychology and the cost of killing in society and so on and so forth. But he wrote an excellent one that's mandatory reading. I know in the like the FBI Academy, a lot of special operations units are using it, law enforcement training. It's the book called On Combat. And I just can't emphasize it enough how mandatory you should make that reading to prepare yourself for the eventuality when you might be faced with a deadly force encounter. And so take the time to look at that. The rest of these articles here, I'm not going super in depth. I'm just telling you basically what I tell a brand new prepper, a friend of mine who says, hey, what should I get? Those are the items. You can get into shotguns and you can get into long range rifles and all your sniper stuff and everything else at a later date. Remember this, just keep in mind that this is for beginner basic prepping. Just what do I need to do first? Okay. Medical. Let's talk about that. Defense and medical. You need to prepare for the eventuality that there may not be professional medical services around. And there's plenty of examples to draw from this, whether it's a hurricane, Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Hugo, Hurricane, all of those, tornadoes, the earthquake in Haiti, the tsunami, so on and so forth. When they have to start triaging, they're going to deal with the most critical patients first. Now, your situation might not be critical, and you get put on the back burner. In a Teotihuacan situation, your biggest enemy is going to be disease and infection. So you need to prevent that by being prepared to provide for your own medical care for as long as possible. I would recommend that either in your family or in your group that you designate a person to be the medical expert, the person that could possibly even take an EMT course. Maybe somebody in your group or your family who is already a nurse, to have some type of medical training. But anyway, you need to have someone that can get up to date on all their CPR, first aid, and start taking first aid and responder type courses and start investing in that person start acquiring resources, the books, taking courses, watching YouTube videos, buying DVDs, and the equipment, your first aid medical equipment. You need to inventory and adjust your current capabilities. Look at what first aid kit you have. If you don't have one, get one. They're everywhere. You can find, there's no reason for you not to have a first aid kit. But when you look at some of these resources, the YouTube videos, and some of these books that I've recommended, I'm going to be talking about in just a little bit, they really help build, help you prioritize and build up a good emergency medical kit and a long-term, medium-term medical care program for you and your families. All right, now you need to build some kits, and this is what we've done. Was I've operated before, and all the operators had a couple main kits on their person all the time. The first one's called a boo-boo kit, and that's really what we called it. It's a boo-boo kit. It's for all your cuts and scrapes and things like that. It's carried by the individual in your harness or in your equipment, in your go bag, your bug-out bag, whatever you want to call it. But you need to have it where you can grab it, you can reach it. And that's going to have your Neosporin, your antiseptic, antibiotic, your cuts and scrapes and things like that. Then you have a trauma kit. So you got two main kits on you. One's just for minor scrapes and abrasions, minor injuries, and obviously non-life-threatening with all your gauzes. And then your trauma kit. Your trauma kit is for something major that you need to stop the blood right now. And either using Celox or quick clot, you need to have that in there, an Israeli battle dressing, some type of major dressing for stopping a lot of blood from flowing quickly. And that's your lifesaver. Now, among your group, if you're just by yourself and you're an individual, then you need to have an expanded individual slash family kit. But generally, the kit that's that you have with your family, that would have some of your bigger ticket items. That's going to have all your Pepto-Bismol and your cold medicine, flu medicine, and NyQuil, and more gauzes and hydrogen peroxide and things like that. Your suture kits on a smaller scale, butterfly bandages, and so on and so forth. And then you have a group kit. And that's where you might have bigger items like stretchers and oxygen bottles and things for intubation, so on and so forth, minor surgery, your surgical kit, and so on. And depending on your specific individual setup, you may just have your boo-boo kit, your trauma kit, and your expanded kit, which and not even have a group kit. So you have to really customize it for you and for your family, but there should be some basic essential items that are in there, and those are outlined in these resources that I've given you from the YouTube videos to the books that I highly recommend. And let me talk about that right now. If you don't have anything else at all right now, then you need to go and buy Where There Is No Doctor. You can click on the link. It'll take you right to it. That is a must-have for the Prepper Library, for the medical library, Where There Is No Doctor. And they also produced one called Where There Is No Dentist. Now, on that note, Where There Is No Dentist, right now, you know something is going to happen. The last thing you need, nothing will put somebody down faster than having a toothache. I mean, when it's really bad and it starts getting impacted, it'll shut you down. It will flat shut you down. And so take care of your dental needs right now. Start prioritizing that. Put it at the top of your list and get that stuff taken care of. The book, Where There Is No Dentist, will help you take care of those issues that come up post-Teotihuacan. And also a great resource is just simply the Red Cross first aid book. Responding to Emergencies is their kind of their level two first aid book. That's the one that I recommend. And also there's a book that we've done a review on in the past is should be essential for the Prepper Library. And that's Enola Gay's book titled The Prepared Family Guide to Uncommon Diseases. So those three items right there are going to really help you out, go a long way. And so check out all those resources. There's a lot to learn, I know. Don't get overwhelmed. Just eat that elephant one bite at a time. That's all you can do. All right, but start small and start working your way up from there. Okay, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to try to wrap things up. And we're going to talk about communications, prepper communications. So stick around. You are listening to the John Jacob Schmidt Show on Radio Free Redoubt.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout.
Hi, this is Evelyn with a communication tip in a minute from Radio Free Readout. In a teotwaki or major national emergency, if you have to travel to get to your retreat or to the American Readout, you should be planning and mapping your routes now. That means a primary, secondary, alternate, and an all else fails movement plan. That plan should include a printed list of readouters in the American Readout Network along your route, to include call signs, locations, and the communications equipment and frequencies they have listed in the ARN member directory. And make sure your equipment matches theirs. Being able to connect with other known readouters for assistance can save lives. This has been a public service announcement to support the CH3 Project and AMRON, the American Readout Radio Operators Network.
Have you been searching for a time-proven way to protect your valuables and your loved ones? Rainy Day Root Cellars has the solution. Whether you need safe shelter from a storm, secure protection for your belongings, or a perfect place for your food storage, Rainy Day Root Cellars provides you and your family with the ultimate in discreet and secure protection. Visit them today at www.rainydayrootcellars.com. Rainy Day Root Cellars, security you can count on.
Okay, we're back once again on Radio Free Readout, and we are talking about prepping 201 for the beginner prepper. Where do I start? What resources can I use? Where do I go? What book should I read? So on and so forth. We're just trying to point you in the right direction, throwing out some perspectives on there throughout there. And I have been prepping for decades. And it has morphed and changed over time as new technologies become available and new things that I've learned has changed. And I haven't always eat, sleep, and breathed prepping. I've kind of come in and out of it through phases of my life. There's times when I might go a couple years and do nothing with it and don't think about it. And then I get back into it and start revamping all my stuff. And so I know that's a pretty common theme for preppers. I know a lot of you are probably nodding your heads going, yeah, that sounds familiar. Okay. So, all right. Now we know that the necessity for prepping, is coming upon us. We need to start taking inventory. And sometimes even though we've been prepping for a long time, it's good to go back to the basics. Go back to some of these resources. Go back to Prepping 101 that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Look up some of those resources. We have prepper resources on the blog over on the right-hand side. Scroll down until you see prepper resources. A lot of really good stuff there. And so let's talk about communications. You've got to be able to be cut out of the loop and not receive communications can mean the difference between life and death. All right, we all know that. There's different types of communications. There's your transceiver. That's where you can talk both ways. You can talk out and listen. Driving down the road, that's just a receiver in your car. All you do is pick up AM, FM, weather band, whatever type you have. Maybe you got Sirius satellite. That is just a receiver. Okay, and just being able to receive, that's a good thing. And there's times when just receiving is fine. There's times when you need a transceiver so you can talk and listen if you have to. I'd recommend prioritizing three different types of capabilities, if you will. One, local. You need to be able to communicate with your family, your group, your community, whatever you have, just within your family or your little retreat group. Okay, and this is two-way radios got to work for this. It could be a CB radio. If you haven't bought a CB radio, when you do, buy one that has single sideband. But the most common that are out there, FRS radios. You look down the roster of redoubters, so the most common type of radio that they will have for two-way radios is your FRS radios. They're extremely common. And then you can use the CH3 project or program, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. So local first, then regional. That's being able to use communications across your county, state, and the redoubt. And as far as receiving goes, you can use a scanner. You can use a 2-meter ham radio and listen that way. CB radios also can work with when they're using a single sideband, you know, even across your county. It can double or triple the range on a CB if you're using the legal wattage for transmitting. And then, of course, then there's the national level communications. And that's when you are able to talk or just listen to, either way, ham operators, AMRON operators, people that have ham gear that they are transmitting across the United States or across the American redoubt, depending on the type, the band that they're using. But you want to be able to have communications that you can receive information from a long ways away and regionally. One thing that's going to help is if you go and click on the tab that's titled Radio Free Redoubt Communications Plan for Preppers and Redoubters. And that's your communication plan. It talks about AMRON. It talks about the TapperNet, the American Prepper Radio Network. It talks about the CH3 project and so on and so forth. So prioritize. How do we prioritize? First of all, if you have nothings, go out and get yourself a set of FRS radios. That way, if you need to go out to the back 40 to check on something, a bump in the night, you can at least have your wife in the house. You have a lifeline. You have somebody that you can talk to locally. Okay, if you're convoying and you need to tell your buddy who's in the next truck up, or he needs to tell you something that's relevant, something in the roadway or whatever, you need to be able to have two-way communications, personal two-way radios. I recommend the FRS radios over CBs because the handheld CBs are nominal in performance. They just don't do that well at all. The CBs that are mobile mounted do extremely well, but you can't jump out of the truck and still have that in your hand. So the FRS radio is a good, just all-around basic prepper communication tool that I recommend. But start off, number one, with something you can use on a personal level. Number two, your next purchase should be a shortwave radio receiver with single sideband capabilities for a couple different reasons. First of all, you can hear ham operators talking back and forth. You can get news from around the world, and that is going to help keep you informed. Now, why single sideband? That's because ham operators will almost always be using single sideband because that uses only one side of the band, either the upper or the lower side of the band. What that means is there's less resistance, so it drives that signal farther and using less power. So that's how they communicate. You're not going to hear it if you don't have single sideband that you can switch it to. And then once you do, then you'll be able to hear those voice, also known as phone communications, and hear them talking. Now, a lot of times you'll be listening to shortwave radio and you can't hear talking. It sounds like a bunch of aliens or some other kind of weird digital blippity bloop noises and stuff like that that make no sense. That's because most of the time if you're already on single sideband, that's a digital communications that are going across. It might sound like Morse code. So digital communications is something that you can listen to with a laptop computer. And if you go to that article that Popeye wrote, wildly popular, what is that, 4,000 views on that article now? 3,500 views just from a week and a half ago. He wrote an article called How to Receive Ham Radio Digital Communications. And using a laptop computer with a free software download, those resources are also there on that article that he wrote. You can download that to a little laptop. Now, one of the things that a lot of people are doing is getting a laptop specifically dedicated to this. You can pick one up off of eBay for $80. Just make sure it's got the basic minimum system requirements, so it's just dedicated to digital communications. What you do is you receive these, and you what it is texting, okay, without overcomplicating it. Ham radio operators and AMRON operators are sending text messages back and forth to each other on these bands that's outlined there in the communication plan on that tab that you click on. And when ham radio operators have a difficult time getting voice communications out because it takes so much bandwidth on the band, it's much narrower when you can just shoot out a blurb in a digital communication transmission. And to receive that, you have to have the software, but the information is flowing continuously. You want to be able to keep you in the loop by getting text messages. There's also the Win More program. That's where it's actual emails that they're sending over, emails without an infrastructure. Really cool stuff that's up and coming. So that's going to help you out. I recommend that you join the American Redoubt Network. So when you're traveling, you'll have a list of other redoubters that you can communicate with in a down situation. You'll have access to the forum and the communication side with the other, with the AMRON frequencies and so on to keep you in the loop. Now, if you're a radio operator, I recommend or I want to encourage you to volunteer as an AMRON operator. That's the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. You can volunteer as a ham operator where you're communicating with other people in the bands that you're using and relay that information across your region or your local area. Relays also are AMRON volunteers. They are not ham operators, but they listen to digital or voice communications over their shortwave radios or their scanners, and they're listening to ham operators. They are relaying pertinent information across, or they will relay pertinent information across their local frequencies that they use, such as their FRS or their CB, to keep other people informed. It's the link linking non-ham operators with ham operators. Anyway, you can learn more about that by going and clicking on that link as well. We've covered this stuff in depth in the past, so I don't want to bore you guys that already know this stuff. But let's see. After you get, first of all, your two-way personal communications taken care of and then get a shortwave radio receiver capability, then you can get into other stuff that's more local, regional two-way communications, your CBs with single sideband, your ham operator, your ham radios that are 2 meter, and you can explore a lot more about that in these articles that we've posted there. I just want to let you know that it's out there. The reason why is because when you start getting into your scanners, then you can listen with a scanner. You can listen to FRS radios. You can listen to police and fire and 2 meter ham operators and 70 centimeter ham operators. So there's a lot of information coming into you, and a lot of our relays have scanners as well as shortwave receivers. So they're just like a conduit, a magnet for information coming across the radio waves that they can quickly relay back out to their local area using their FRS or CB radios. It's pretty cool. The more you learn about it, the more you see, oh, this is pretty cool stuff. I would recommend strongly that in your group or your family, you designate a COMO person, a COMO specialist, either you or someone else, to, as you acquire each of these pieces of communication equipment, to keep you informed, to keep you in the loop, to keep the American Redoubt connected, to keep Patriots connected across the country, every piece of equipment that you get, you master it. You find out what it's capable of, what its limitations are. You find out what frequencies it operates on. You compare that to the AMRON member directory to find out if there are any redoubters in your area that are also using that type of communication, because the AMRON and CH3 program are not something that's being used on a daily basis. That's only for Teotihuacan. Only over on the Tapper net, the American Prepper radio net, are people actually using that on a day-to-day basis, which we want to encourage you guys to do and listen to. If you're a relay, so you can listen to those communications on a regular basis, master that piece of equipment and teach others how to operate it. Really good stuff. Okay, finally, the CH3 program. That is a standardized way to communicate with your group and with other redoubters across the area. It stemmed from kind of a little a loose retreat group that we had put together to standardize our communications, because everyone had CBs and FRS radios. So if something goes down, you immediately turn your radio to channel 3 with no sub-channels or privacy codes, and you communicate with one another using that protocol that's on the CH3 tab, and to be able to get a hold of other people that are like-minded. Pretty cool. Now, also, when you turn to channel 3 and you're sitting there monitoring, the hams and relays, they know that there are redoubters out there that are hungry for information. So when information comes across the line, down the line, they're going to relay that to you on channel 3. And it really helps them if you, in your American Redoubt Network, in the directory there for your profile, let everyone know what type of communication that you monitor. So that way, when they see that there's someone in their area that's designated, they're going to use primarily CB, they're going to try their darndest on the CB to keep getting information out, because they suspect that you'll be out there listening. Good program. That's a good program. Okay, we're trying to avoid going long tonight. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. And just want to throw some basics out there for you. I want to thank all of you for your emails, for your encouragement, for your suggestions, for the news tips, and people that are stepping up to volunteer. We're working kind of behind the scenes, hashing some details and plans out so we can start working on other projects and keeping you guys informed and keeping us getting better all the time. All right. Don't forget that tonight, right after the show, we'll be playing an old-time radio favorite from Cloak and Dagger. That'll take about a half an hour, and then right after that we'll be re-airing the show that you just heard in case you missed any of it. Later on tonight we'll be uploading that to the Podbean player, just like every week, and you can listen to this show throughout the week. You can download it, put it on a CD, put it on your portable MP3 players, listen to it on the go. I know a lot of you like to do that. And also send links or send CDs to your like-minded friends and family so that you can keep spreading the news about the American Redoubt movement. We appreciate all that. Hey, this is John Jacob Schmidt signing off at the Voice of the American Redoubt. Until next week, you have a blessed week. Good night.